You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
A little after high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Patriots Monday on WEEI. We talked to Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry. Push things back a little bit here. But they're both available on the Odyssey app and posted shortly on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI there. We've been breaking down Drake May's day. That throw to Pop Douglas, I wouldn't sleep on.
Oof.
It wasn't...
real nice.
It wasn't the bullet down the field to Kayshon Booty right before halftime. I also think he made a better play, as we discussed earlier, rolling to his right, throwing to his left across his body to Hunter Henry for 30 yards or whatever.
Yeah, it was a big gainer.
But I thought that touchdown pass to Pop Douglas, number one, he had to move in the pocket a little bit. And number two, he put it right on target for Douglas to run after the catch and get in the end zone. So I
which he didn't do before. So like he sort of had a play, missed him.
He had missed him earlier.
Pop bailed him out, actually even catching the ball where it was behind him and got what he could out of it. It might have gone for much more had he hit him in stride. So then the next opportunity, he gets it.
No.
It's almost as though a rookie quarterback can get better with experience.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of it early in the game, not to just brush it all aside, but some of that's probably nerves. He's out there, it's his first start. The more you settle
in. I think he confirmed it even too. Like, I'm sure he was just like shot out of a cannon
but
out there.
I thought that was a sneaky good play. He's elusive and has to move to his right, I think it was, on that throw, you know, to get away from it. And then he puts it right on Douglas's hands, which is a correction from earlier in the game, as you pointed out. And he's able to scoot into the end zone. So, look, we said this earlier, I'll reiterate. Drake May was not perfect yesterday. No one's saying he was perfect. He has to clean up the turnovers, his awareness on some of those sacks, where he would the strip sack, for instance, where he got crushed early on in the second half. The first pick was brutal. The throw just sailed to what looked like a receiver who had a chance. I think that was Douglas as well, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't perfect, but I'd say for the first time, certainly since Mac Jones's rookie year and maybe since Tom Brady walked out the door, you feel like you may have the answer at quarterback. And that, despite a 20-point loss and a horrible defense and an undisciplined team that takes way too many penalties, despite all that, I think you wind up feeling pretty good coming out of that game yesterday.
Yeah, if you don't feel good, I feel like your expectation was way out of whack. I feel like you were going in saying it's got to be 3 touchdowns, no picks, and a win. Like, that'd be the only way you'd be satisfied.
Right.
They're going up against not only one of the best teams in the league, but one of the best defenses and pass rushes in the league with a comically injured, bad offensive line. Like, it's to the point now where it's just like, you. The next week it's going to be somebody else. The week after that it's going to be somebody else. It's nobody that you've ever heard of. Nobody that was with the team in camp, basically, or was with the team 2 weeks ago, and now they're starting. And you're like, what? It's so many offensive linemen, it's silly.
Well, they've been on, what, 3 or 4 left tackles? They're now on to their third center.
Center.
Brown started the game on Sunday, and if you missed this earlier in the show, Keith had the news from Adam Schefter. They've released Nick Leverett, who was the replacement for David Andrews, and now you're on to another guy. So, right, it's just it's a complete patchwork offensive line.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. Onwenu, I think, is the only offensive lineman that has played all 6 games, and he has played more than one position.
I think that's right. Okay. Correct. He moved from tackle back to guard.
So, he's the one constant player, but he's not in the same spot.
Correct.
So there you go. That kind of sums up where you're at. And you're going up against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and a decent secondary and all of that. And you're able to get some production. Far and away a season high in passing yards. Far and away a season high in passing touchdowns. A season high in total points. I don't know. To me, the good far outweighs the bad, because you know the team is bad. maybe the defense is worse than we thought going in, but the offensive line is what it is. You actually saw some life in Pop Douglas and Booty, which we were kind of holding out hope for, but we didn't know. We haven't had a chance to see it.
I wasn't holding out any hope for Booty. He's actually impressed me the last couple
Booty's
of weeks.
Yeah, Booty's been
solid. But Douglas and Polk, I was holding out plenty of hope for.
Yeah, Polk's a different story, right? Yeah. Polk is kind of going the wrong way at this point, but at least you saw a little flash in those other two. Plus, they had a season high in points against this defense and without Ramondre Stevenson. The only reason the first two games of the season were a win and a close loss were because of Ramondre Stevenson.
Correct.
What would Brissett have looked like without Ramondre yesterday?
I mean, 100 yards and probably a turnover, maybe not three.
Maybe not three.
A turnover, and they scored 3 points. You know what I mean? Like they don't
score like any touchdowns. Right. He's not running for 40 yards or 38 yards, whatever it was that may have.
100 yards seems generous.
100 yards
might have
been
Josh Allen to 9 completions the week
before.
That's
a good point. Maybe 100 yards is
too
generous.
Right, they made Caleb Williams, who has had back-to-back really good weeks, and Josh Allen, who's an MVP candidate every week. Like, they've made both of those guys look bad. Mm-hmm. And so for Drake May to do what he did, I don't know. I choose to view it really high. It's funny. Just last hour, we had both Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry on. Kendrick Bourne, much more of the trying to spin the whole season positive, understanding where the team is at, and be like, hey, we're 1-5. We're not playing well, but stick with us. He had a great record. He's like, I was on an 0-9 49ers team. A couple years later, they're in the Super Bowl. So the NFL, things can change pretty quickly. Meanwhile, Hunter Henry comes on, and I feel like our listeners are kind of in one of two camps. They're either like Kendrick Bourne being like, hey, get a little shot in the arm from the quarterback, or it's like, woe is me, this is horrible, we can't be satisfied.
Yeah, so are you a Kendrick Bourne or are you a Hunter Henry?
I'm a Kendrick Bourne after today.
I'm a Kendrick Bourne
as well. Or after yesterday, even before listening to those two guys. I just think there's so many of the... Because
all right.
All right seems like a little high. But for 20 years, or I guess 18 years, they were a Super Bowl contender, mm-hmm. and they made the Super Bowl more often than they didn't. That is so far and away like better than what anybody else has ever done. Maybe the Chiefs eventually, but they're not there yet as far as just how many seasons were there at that level. Most teams, like, you don't have that. So this is a bad team. So you can't celebrate any of the positives that are out there?
Well, let me give you a few texts. 37937. We'll get to your phone calls as well. And a reminder, Bruins played today. And so this is the only spot you can talk about Drake May and the Patriots all day long on WEEI. You can do it for 4 full hours here on Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Monday. But it's the only place all day long you can talk about Drake May and his first start. Or if you're more of a Hunter Henry and less of a Kendrick Bourne, how they lost by 20.
And why Brissett should go back in.
And why Brissett should go back in and how much of a disaster it was.
Let's hear that.
617-779-7937. But the text line, 37937. Guys, that's pathetic. This was the second worst loss of the season. Pats got beat by 3 touchdowns at home. And you fans, us, I guess, are acting like that was a good outing. Wow. How far we've fallen.
Yes.
You've gotten that text
before?
No,
I know, but yes.
Yes.
They have fallen. At one point, they had the greatest quarterback ever to play football and the greatest coach to ever coach football. They don't have those guys anymore. The roster's bad. They're one of the 5 worst teams in the league, and you can make a case after this Sunday. If they lose, they're the worst team in football.
Okay, so I'm
so, yeah,
you.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Right.
I'm with
you. You think they're going to win every week?
Well, I was hoping. I don't agree with that text as much. This one I can get more on board with, though. 40% of Drake's yardage came in garbage time when it felt like their defense wasn't trying. Like, that I think, is a much more fair text.
Okay.
Not like how the mighty have fallen, and the kid actually wasn't that good, and they got smoked. Well, yeah, they got smoked. The Texans are Super Bowl contenders, and they're actually good, and you stink.
Were the Niners or the Jets trying in the second half?
Good point.
Did you score or even move the ball then?
But to me, that is worth watching, because when the game was in doubt, quote-unquote, I think Drake May had about 1 good drive. Now, I think it was an awesome drive. It was my favorite part of the day. It was the touchdown throw to Booty, but it was also executing in a 2-minute offense where Jacoby Brissett couldn't against Seattle, and he couldn't against Miami. But then he comes out to start the second half. He fumbles. He gets absolutely crunched.
Oh, he got smoked.
Which I also kind of consider a good thing. Not that he got hit, but the way he reacted to getting hit. He stayed in the game. He toughed it out. He made plays after that. But I will acknowledge, like, for as much as I like the Pop Douglas touchdown that we were talking about.
That's great.
It is at a point where you're like, okay, the game is not in doubt. It is garbage time-ish. So,
but you almost want to just see if you can do it.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Can they do it on an open air field with no defense?
If that's every start every game for Drake May. He doesn't do anything for 2.5 quarters, and then when they're down 3 touchdowns, he starts to put up numbers.
Oh, the Blake Bortles.
Maybe.
Blake Bortles did that. I think it was at 17-18. Remember that year?
Yes, I do. Because I owned Allen Robinson in fantasy, and it was a good ride.
That was incredible. So,
I mean, it was
you
not,
couldn't watch the game,
it wasn't a
though.
Fun ride. No. But it was good to look at when the game was over.
Yes.
So if that's a trend with Drake May, I'll get on board with that. But for one game, it was your best offensive performance in his first start, which is why a lot of us felt like you should have played him earlier. Because this is the lowest. This is where he's starting out at.
Oh yeah, he could be a lot better. He could have been in a much better spot.
You could
he started
be
week one.
6 weeks into the development if you started in week one, which is why a lot of us felt that way.
I mean, he had so much going against him, and yet people are still trying to find like, oh, well, he turned it over. Oh, did he? He did. He turned it over. He didn't have a perfect game. He didn't play perfect.
Nope.
His quarterback rating wasn't perfect. Like it's crazy to me. Like what the expectation level is for some. Tom Brady's not on the team anymore. This isn't a Super Bowl contender.
Nope.
Not for this season.
Nope.
So I don't know why you can't take – like, I was very encouraged by Pop Douglas's game. I thought him – his catch-and-run ability, his, making up for the lack of height on some of those catches that, admittedly, Drake May didn't put right on him was great. It was very impressive. We hadn't seen that yet from Pop Douglas. And Kayshon Booty, obviously, with that touchdown catch and all that. So making the most of it, you have Alex Van Pelt calling plays, not the best thing in the world for a young quarterback.
No
starting offensive line to speak of.
I mean,
no starting running back.
I again, like, have legitimately lost track of who's on the offensive line and who they are and where they're from and who. What's the combination? I can't keep track of
it. Can't learn all these names.
You're right about they didn't have Stevenson out there.
I mean, that's significant.
So and again, the offense looked the best that it had. Like Brissett, week one had more weapons and a better line. Believe it or
there
not.
There you go. Like this is a good text. It looked like an NFL offense. Like you get even the bad teams in the league, it seems like can throw the ball down the field and somebody can run and catch it and run into the end zone.
Yeah.
That wasn't happening for 5 weeks.
No.
So all right. It's a place to start.
And
it's a building block.
I thought he showed a little resiliency. I thought Henry might go here, but he didn't. I asked him what he from a competitive standpoint, what he saw out of Drake May, and he kept it like on the field, how he locked in after throwing the first pick and bounced back from it. But how he got up from getting crunched to me is a good sign. Now, you can't have him taking hits like that every single week. Even
no.
I'll acknowledge that. And some of that is his lack of awareness back there. But again, it's his first start, and he showed some toughness and an ability to go and fight through adversity. I like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was another good sign. Matt is in Lunenburg. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
And great questions in those interviews. My God.
Agreed.
Mostly Keith, but yes.
Yes.
I got a quick Pats take, and then I got an emergency parlay question.
Oh.
So, Pats take, Drake May looks great. Should have started him week one. All right. So, emergency parlay question.
Yep. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yesterday, I placed 3 whole hams on a 12-leg parlay.
Wow.
Sure. I have hit, up to this point, 11 of those 12.
What?
I can cash out. Yes. I can cash out right now for $1,800.
Okay. Cash out.
Or if the Bills win, I get $4,600.
Just win?
Yeah, I don't like the Bills tonight.
Just win.
If I liked the Bills, I would say let it ride. I don't. This is dead cap bounce response from Robert. I don't like the Bills at all in this game, to be honest.
1,800 clams
versus 46.
I am not a cash out guy, but I don't like the Bills at all in
Dude,
this game
1,800.
Tonight.
1,800.
Really? They just fired their head coach though, the Jets.
Yeah, that's kind of why I like the Jets, if that
that's
makes any
point.
Sense.
As Billy just told me in my ear, that's 3 PS5s. Or you could get 9 PS5s.
That's true. I mean, look, I'm
taking 3 PS5s.
I'm telling you, I'm not a cash out guy, but I don't like the last leg of your parlay.
3
I don't
PS5s
like
and a couple of games.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, quit while you're ahead.
1,800. But, like, what lunatic? Get him back on the phone. What lunatic is doing a 12-leg parlay? That was the Kayshon Booty.
What do you mean? What lunatic? Matt Lunenberg. What do you mean? Yeah, and Kayshon Booty.
Kayshon Booty did that.
What was Kayshon Booty? An eight?
I think it was the octopus.
Your name was Kayshon Booty 1, really throwing him off the side.
Kayshon Booty 1. They're like, you don't know which one it is. It could be a different one.
Nice.
Could be a fake account.
I mean, look.
I would cash out. Now, that is.
I like that we're the go-to place for, like.
Yeah.
Parlay advice, we hit on so many parlays over here. I like that we're the go-to place for that. Yeah,
cash out, Keith.
Yeah, cash out, Keith.
Me and the fellas hit one this weekend.
I
we
heard.
Had another one ham.
Yep.
For $417, and it was a mix of spreads, totals, and touchdowns. Just five. It was a 5-way. It wasn't 12, but it was 5. So we were celebrating that, feeling good.
How about this?
Fellas are feeling good.
But tell the parlay guy not to cash out and just hedge with the Jets money line.
Well. Yeah, but then you got to make do a lot of math here. Because
he says, well, the text line says 2K. I got lost in all the math, but if you put down 2K on the Jets and that.
Oh, I got it. So then.
Now you're covered.
Yeah, but then you're winning like.
Then you lose $200.
Yeah, you're winning. No, but you're. No, well, I guess. Yeah, then put 2K on it.
Yeah.
So then you would either get 2,600 or two. So then you're talking about like two, like, I don't know. Take the 1,800 or take the 4,600 or hold out for the 4,600.
Yeah, but now you're winning either way as opposed to like.
Yeah, winning a little bit more. You still have to put 2K on the Jets because the spread's not significant. It's like a minus one.
Yeah.
So they
would cash out and the Bills win, you're going to feel real bad about it. Where in this case, you're kind of covering yourself.
I guess. But you're still not getting 4,600.
No, you are not.
Saying?
You will not be. No, that's correct. 617-779-7937.
I would cash out. You also would cash out.
On this one?
This specific leg,
on this one, I would cash out, yes.
You think the Jets with, who's their guy? Bill Olbrich?
Who cares?
Who's their coach?
Who cares?
I mean,
Hackett's not calling plays now, so maybe Aaron Rodgers.
You're the guy who hates the Jets, and now you got them winning tonight.
I know, but how many times do you have to see teams fire their coach and bounce back? That happens routinely in the NFL.
Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to think of the last time.
I think it happened with Antonio Pierce last year.
Well, yeah, it was Josh McDaniels.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Jeff Saturday.
This is Robert Saleh. You hate Robert. It happened with Jeff Saturday.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's why I don't like it.
All right.
Maybe it's just a Raiders thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it could just be a Raiders thing. That's true. But that's why I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, more hot parlay advice, 617-779-7937. More your thoughts on Drake May. What didn't we like? We were both very bullish on it. What didn't we like? What are we questioning coming out of that game? And all your thoughts on Drake May's first start as a New England Patriot right after trending here. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network. Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Here with Billy Lane.
How's Gerard Mayo earlier today on the Greg Hill Show? If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. You can also go onto the WEEI page, hit the little microphone that's on there.
Yeah.
And you can leave us a voicemail effectively, right?
It's not the Weiner line.
No, it's
I don't know. It's the Weiner app.
The Weiner app
is
how we're
Odyssey
referring
app,
to that.
Little microphone. This way you can get through and leave us up to a minute.
Yes.
Response.
Yeah.
Holler at us a little bit.
Don't even think about going past 60 seconds. But yeah. Critique.
I don't.
Hot take.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Hot take. You know. Here's the thing. You don't want to come on and spar with myself and Keith.
I think we know how that's going to go.
Yeah, Jones. We're pretty good on our feet.
Not good for you.
Yeah. So you're a little fearful of that.
Yeah.
Or you just don't want to wait in line.
That could be
on the phones.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have time. Yeah. Boom. Right there on the Odyssey app. You can also find the Mayo interview along with our Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne interviews. They're all up on YouTube.
What do you think of that
well.
Answer from
Subscribe
Mayo?
Subscribe to WEEI. It's amazing. It's an amazing, amazing answer because it is a no-win position for him. I think you said this earlier. Like,
yeah.
What's he supposed to do? Be like, oh, the roster sucks because we didn't pay anybody? Oh, the roster sucks because Elliott sucks?
Because last week he said, remember, he's like, I'm not going to say the roster's good or bad.
Yeah, it just
he's like, I choose
it's the hand we've been dealt.
Yeah, the hand we've been dealt. You said that multiple times, which is true. It is the hand he's been dealt.
It's the hand he's been dealt, which is his way of absolving himself of any guilt. And so I would say, number one to him, well, you need to get more out of the roster. That's your job. You're the head coach. It is a bad roster.
Yes.
You need to get more out of it because we all applauded you week one when you got a lot out of it. The alternative to that is you're getting nothing out of it, and it's getting worse. So some of that's on you, but it's a bad roster. Who do you think he's talking about? Because my guess is he's talking about Wolf.
Me too.
But a lot of people seem to think he's laying that at the feet of Belichick.
I'd go Wolf as well. So I don't think that's a Belichick thing.
That's who I think he should be blaming, but
because Wolf also had a chance to really overhaul the roster more, and he re-signed so many of Bill's guys. So if Bill's so bad at drafting and free agents and trades, which he has been for the most part, then why would you bring back all those guys?
Okay, well, I agree with you. I agree that
I think it's more of a shot at Wolf.
I don't blame Bill for it as much as I blame Wolf and Kraft and the lack of spending. But I mean, Bill did leave a terrible roster here, and those two feuded, and so is that who he's talking about? I don't know. I still think it's Wolf.
I don't think so. So before the season began, and forget about injuries for a moment, so and off-field stuff like with Peppers, if you're just taking the roster going into the regular season, the biggest issue by far was offensive line. Right? It was a bad team. It was a bottom five team regardless, but I'd say the single biggest issue was the offensive line. So Elliot Wolf was the one guy in camp that said, we have the right mix. Remember, can you support a rookie quarterback? He's like, yes, we can.
We got the answers on the offensive line. Yeah,
we signed the best offensive lineman in free agency. It's like, it's your own guy. It's your own guy from a four-win team. But he's the one that thought Chukwuma Okorafor, who was a right tackle that the Pittsburgh got rid of, could play left tackle for them. Also, they drafted a right tackle. He thought he could also play left tackle. So you address left tackle with two right tackles. One left the team and one's hurt. One like literally left the team. Nick Leverett was another guy they added in the offseason who started a couple of games when Andrews went down.
Gone.
And now he was released by the team today. So I think it's got to be – there's a lot of issues, a lot of holes to fill, et cetera. But Elliot Wolf thinking that this offensive line in some version would be fine, he'd have more of an out if – the line was ever good, and then Andrews went down, and like City So went down. And you're like, injury. Like, it was never good.
No,
it never was like this is gonna work. So I would say Mayo's looking more at that. If you're still hanging on to Belichick, like, you need to move on.
Okay,
so
well,
I would say Wolf.
Let me tell you who is.
Yeah,
Robert Kraft.
Yeah,
and so I saw a quote making the rounds this weekend with Kraft talking about Jabril Peppers on the Breakfast Club. He said, when you read the police report initially, it turns your stomach. And once he goes on the commissioner's exempt list, they do their independent checking. We do ours.
Why was Kraft on the Breakfast Club, by the way?
Great question. I have no idea.
I'm just curious.
Oh, actually, I do know. It was because of his new stand up to hate thing that's going on.
Oh, okay. I was generally curious.
He was on to explain and I guess promote the stand up to hate and the ads.
Got it.
I think that actually is why.
All right.
He was doing kind of like a press tour for that. Yeah. We're doing our due diligence. He said, if what was reported is true, he's gone. There have been some suggestions that this was a setup and a lot of what was reported is inaccurate. We want to get the facts. So I had seen that making the rounds.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday, which by the way, I don't hate that answer. You know, unfortunately, you just want to cut that right now?
Well,
I just feel like...
No, I just wish the Patriots didn't...
Oh, wait for the exempt list?
Yeah, I just wish they said he's not going to... I wish Kraft said this before he's placed on the exempt list and just said... Yeah. I don't care. He's not playing in the meantime.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not up to the commissioner's office to let us off the hook. I just think if he really felt that way, they would have been a little more proactive than they were.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But no, I mean, at the end of the day, fine. He's on the commissioner's exempt list now. Let the process play out. He's not going to play again in the meantime. And we'll see. But I just think if he really felt that way, they would have acted quicker. He also, on the Breakfast Club, talked about Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Nick, you have this.
Yeah, okay. He's talked about Bill Belichick quite a bit, but let's hear this.
I didn't realize we have the audio of this. Okay, yeah, so good. Let's hear Robert Kraft on The Breakfast Club discussing Bill Belichick.
For 24 years, I didn't enjoy having to fire him, but I tried to do it. If you look at the press conference and how it happened, try to do it in a classy way. And what he did for us was great. You know, people need to adapt. And if they don't, or look at you folks together, things can change. In life, it's about getting good chemistry and trust and feel that, you know, our record the last 3 to 4 years wasn't what I wanted. And I had given him so much power. He had full control over everything. And shame on me, I should have had some checks and balances better. But he had earned that right. But then the results weren't there. And if you're in the sports business, you know, you win or you lose. There's no gray.
Right.
And I hate losing.
Okay, well, you should be getting used to it by now.
Yeah, they're starting to pile up.
Okay, so we don't think Mayo's laying the roster and the blame at the feet of Bill Belichick. I mean, that's clearly what Kraft is doing. Clearly.
Yeah, the last 4 years. I mean, the drafts, right? Like, you can cherry pick a couple of guys like Gonzalez and maybe Keon White, maybe Mike Onwenu, but just the sheer number of first-round picks that have been disasters. Second-round picks. I mean, Tyquan Thornton was a healthy scratch yesterday. Cole Strange has been hurt, and who knows if he's ever going to, like, what impact he'll even have. So They left a bad roster, but that happens after a four-win team. And if you fire your coach, not many coaches are also the GM, right? So that's sort of a unique situation here where you move on from that guy and you need to turn things around. But it's a little bit of both, right? It's like, I shouldn't have given him that much power, but he earned it. You know, so it's like, all right, so you wouldn't have, like, how would you not have? And if that was what was going to keep the relationship together, I feel like you kind of had to give him that power because he kind of learned firsthand from Parcells meddling. You might lose a good coach. Jerry Jones did it with Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
So he stepped away. There was way more good than bad. It just ended poorly. He comes across as, I know there's a lot of Patriots fans that are upset with Kraft. I do think he made the right move from moving on from Bill.
Me too.
However, Gerard Mayo might not be the right guy. Alex Van Pelt clearly doesn't feel like the right guy. The fact that the dynasty came out the same time, brutal timing.
Well,
brutal timing.
And this, so the dynasty.
Yeah, the documentary series
If you thought Kraft was just going to blame Bill for like the ending and Brady leaving, if you thought it stopped there, no, no, no. It turns out just this weekend he is still blaming Bill Belichick for the trash organization they've become.
They probably should just kind of move on.
Well, this is what I think.
Enjoy having to fire him
because he does say fire. By the way, that is noteworthy.
But he's said
that
by ear.
It's
like,
not. We didn't mutually part. No. I fired him.
And you know what? A big part of that, I would assume. I would love to know what the details were for that post, that little press conference. Because remember, they went up there together. They talked. It was very awkward. They shook hands. They moved on. Yep. And then Robert answered questions. Bill didn't. You know that was such a big. That was so important to Robert that he even mentions it here. Like. Yeah, I didn't want to fire him because remember at first it was like a parting of the ways, and then he's like, now he at least admits, like, all right, people aren't that dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are dumb, but maybe they're not as dumb as I was hoping. So I'll admit that it was fired, but like just having the opportunity to like shake his hand and have that photo op was like so important to him.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I think if the dynasty didn't come out and some of the, like specifically that, then maybe fans wouldn't be so lopsided right now. Like, Bill's team, like, last year at this time, were like, they just got smoked by the Saints and the Cowboys. We're like, dude, it's over.
I'm with you. Bill should have gone sooner than he did.
But now he's smelling like a roast.
He should have been fired in season or maybe even the season prior. I think Bill got a lot more rope than he even deserved here.
And I
agree with Kraft for moving on from him, okay? But it is, at a certain point, it is too much. And, like, Robert, you are the checks and balances. You're his boss.
That's right.
You're the check and balance. What do you mean you needed more checks and balances? You're the one who did stand up for him from time to time.
Yeah.
You did stand up to Bill over the years. You're not trading Rob Gronkowski. We're not doing this. We're not
Tom
doing
Brady.
That. You're trading Jimmy Garoppolo. You are the checks and the balance. So, like, what are you talking about?
I was going to say, I feel like he's the one that got rid of Antonio Brown. I feel like he was the one that got another contract out of Tom Brady. Sorry, I just got to address the text line who thinks Cole Strange is good. Well, then I don't know what to tell you, sir. He's like, oh, he started the first day. He started the first day because Bill drafted him in the first round and shoved him in there.
I thought
you were
hopeful.
Did bench him for Isaiah Wynn multiple times?
Yes.
I thought you were hopeful for Cole Strange.
No, at center.
Yeah,
he's not a guard.
That was before you saw Ben Brown.
Yeah, like, no, he's horrible. And, like, even if he was better than he is, it'd still be a bad first round pick.
Yes. Anyway, look, where the organization is at, like, Robert, you can try to blame Bill, and maybe that's some of what Gerard Mayo was doing today on the Greg Hill Show. I think that was more at Elliott Wolf.
Yeah.
But whatever. You can try to blame Bill. The reality is, all the team has right now is Drake May. That's the reality. Coaching, poor. Talent, poor. So the hope of Drake May is all you have. And yesterday, for a day...
Saw a little bit?
You saw a little bit. At bare minimum, even if you're critical of Drake May or you think we're being too praising of Drake May...
No,
you have to
might not be high enough.
You have to acknowledge that there were at least flashes of that's what an elite quarterback looks like.
Honestly,
mixed in with mistakes, but there were at least flashes yesterday where you go, oh, I can see it. And for the first time in a while, that was at least something to feel good about.
I think he's better than I thought. Like, that was my takeaway.
That was better than I thought he would be in start one. Yes.
Yeah, better than I thought he'd be in start one for sure. Grading on a curve, considering it's the Houston Texans, who are very good. I think it's hard for people, and I get it, I'm the same way. Like, looking at the schedule, that they're one of the best teams in the league now. Mm-hmm. I was just so ingrained that they're not. But they are. Like, they have the defensive rookie of the year who got, three sacks in the game.
Yeah,
they
monster.
Spent big money on Danielle Hunter. They made Josh Allen and Caleb Williams both look foolish already. You don't have Ramondre Stevenson. Drake May played really well, and some of his runs were great. Like, so if you could add his running ability with a running back who can actually run, all right, now maybe you're cooking with gas.
Maybe.
Right? Maybe you have some...
Let's not ask for too much.
I know. It's a lot.
Let's not get too greedy.
But good throws. The team seems to like him. Kendrick Bourne was telling us about his aura that he has.
That was nice.
Listen, all good.
Let me give you another example of where Mayo, May was better than we thought. Against the blitz. I read these numbers in the last break from Phil Perry.
All right.
May was 7 for 12, 119, 3 touchdowns and a pick.
Whew. Don't blitz him.
And it's like...
Oh, blitz him at your own risk.
Yes. I mean, Phil even said maybe they were being a little generous with some of that because he didn't feel like the Henry touchdown was actually a blitz, but whatever.
Anyway,
these are the stats. And that's one of the things where you go, oh, okay, well, if they're going to come after him, he's not going to be able to make plays. No. Check that box. He did. And he showed some toughness yesterday. And he showed playmaking ability down the field and mobility.
The problem is whoever's playing quarterback this year is going to have an opportunity to show toughness every week. Because they're going to get the snot beat out of them.
It's true, but not like...
Nobody got up, but he made plays after that.
Does Matt get up from that hit?
Maybe not.
And if he does...
Randy Gregory broke him in half, so maybe.
Oh, maybe. And if he does, is he yelling? Is he showing up a teammate or hollering at a coach? Like, how does he handle it?
The problem is now, like, you can't even yell at a teammate by name because you're like, I don't know who this lineman is. They just got here. Like, hey, you!
Hey, you, are you
Ben? Throw a block! Would you?
Is your name Ben? I just met you. You just got here. You're not my starting center.
Starting center.
Is it Ben?
Yes.
You!
Ben Smith.
What are you doing?
Ben Smith. Knock off Zach Thomas. Knock off Michael Jordan.
Who the hell are you?
You don't even have the right versions of these guys.
No, they really don't. 617-779-7937. More your thoughts. Keith, we power ranked the wide receiver room earlier today. Sounds like Jalen Polk on the outs. What do they do there? And are we already nervous about that draft pick? We'll mix that in with all your Drake May thoughts next. Drake May following his first start for the New England Patriots. 21 points, 3 touchdown passes. He did have 3 turnovers as well. A couple of picks and a fumble. You know,
he's going to be on this afternoon, too. I forgot about that.
WEI Afternoons. We'll be talking to Drake May for the first time.
May
that's true.
Debut.
That is true. Nice. Do we know a time on that? Do you hear a time
TBD.
On that? TBD.
TBD.
It's okay.
Yeah.
That's usually...
Rip the knob off right now. Listen
usually
how
we operate. Look, you never know. You got to stay locked in the whole time because you never know when Drake May might show up. That'd be my recommendation. And again, stay tuned, locked in all day long to WEEI. Only place right now you can talk about Drake May in the city.
That's right.
So that'd be a good place to do it. I do go back and forth on the interceptions because I expected a turnover. I expected mistakes in his first start.
And even the first one, like that exact type of throw and pick I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if that's how I pictured it. I kind of pictured like maybe he's going to jam one into double coverage. That was just like a sailed throw that just got away from him. Yeah,
he was fired up.
Yeah.
His NFL, for his first start, I know he played a little bit against the Jets, but his first start at home, probably has all his friends and family there, something he's been dreaming of. He's all cranked up, crowd going nuts for him. And airmails it. Even his first like incompletion.
Oh, I was just
so
like,
far out of bounds.
What?
Yeah, like, I was just gone. So he needed that. I get that out of the system and settle down a little bit. Which
so,
he did.
Look, the interceptions. On the one hand, I go, it's his first start. Like, let's not go nuts. On the other hand, I go, they were very costly, and they gave Houston short fields. And part of the reason your defense had such a miserable day, 41 points, their worst outing of the year, is you were constantly handing them short fields.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, that's something that needs to get cleaned up. No one's saying he was perfect yesterday. There were mistakes, but I agree with something you said earlier, Keith.
Thank you.
It was still better than I expected.
Yeah.
Like I did not expect 3 touchdown passes. I did not expect him to look as comfortable as he did. As the game wore along, it was a little rocky to start for sure. That one where he like jumped in the air and tried to throw it and slammed into a defender, like that didn't look right.
No.
So there were a few of those early. But the way he settled in, the mobility, the playmaking, I expected more of that, like a lot more of that than Jacoby Brissett, and I still think there was more of it than I anticipated.
I did a rookie quarterback parlay for the Sportsbook Rhode Island this weekend, and it was Drake May, 1 touchdown pass.
Not bullish enough?
No. And it was the first quarter. I was like, oh, no. Like, he might be the one that we miss on. Like,
yeah, you were like, should have bet Rattler instead.
I was like,
damn it.
Like, this is gross. If it's going to be Gibson into the line, throwaway,
okay, that's
going to be a long afternoon.
That first series should shake you to the core.
Yeah.
When it went 2 runs right up the gut, after Houston marched right down their throats, and they're down 7-0. Run, throw 15 feet out of bounds.
Yeesh.
Like, that was a rough first start. then he throws the pick. And so we were all feeling that way early on, but he settled in after that.
And I know your answer to this, but for everybody else, even though I was surprised how much pushback there was on May, it's like, oh my God, the interceptions. This coming Sunday, 9:30 a.m., you're going to have a nice little Bloody Mary or whatever you're going to have with you, and it's 1-5 Jaguars, 1-5 Patriots. Aren't you, on a Monday, way more excited for that game now than you would have been?
Yes.
If that was Brissett, it'd be like, maybe I'll be at a pumpkin patch with the kids.
This is why I do think the Crafts had a hand in it. And it's why when Mayo comes out after the game and goes, we let him down, you know, we should all feel like crap because of it. I think some of that was a message to the Crafts. Like, hey, I know we got to do more here to support the kid because that's
but
all
we
have.
This is what we have. Like, this is what the team is right now.
That's all we have.
That's all we have. That's no, it. Well, he's all we have. But I mean, like, I'm not going to just sit him all year to protect him because the rest of the team is bad. Because you made this point back in week one where everyone was like, wait a week nine, then he can play him. Like, the O-line will be better. We're like, why? Why is it better?
It's gotten significantly worse.
Cole Strange is going to be back. It's like, great.
The best it was week one.
Yep, that's right.
The best the offense, the healthiest and best the offensive line was week one.
Because it was like, all right, David Andrews, we all love him, but is he going to make it through the entire season? No. And then if he doesn't, then what's it going to look like? No. Your third center now?
Answer we're finding out.
Yeah, it's something.
That is the answer. So here's the other problem yesterday. Pop Douglas looked great.
Yeah.
Kayshon Boutte looked really good.
He did.
You know, and he's played a lot of snaps the last couple of weeks. So that's a guy.
Most wide receiver snaps yesterday.
Yeah. So, like, the coaching staff obviously feels pretty good about the direction of him. Kendrick Bourne ramping up health-wise. Those now feel like your top three receivers because Jerod Mayo just today, very critical of Jalen Polk. He's got to get over a mental hump with some of the drops that he's had. Snaps decreased this week. And yeah, there's a chance we're not going to see him a ton on Sunday against Jacksonville.
Yeah, he hasn't really done a whole lot to deserve the playing time. And you got to get your feet in bounds twice.
Yep.
Right? That's pretty
sure.
I mean, what a difference that is. You know, you have a game-winning touchdown, or potential game-winning touchdown against Miami. Instead, you don't. You don't know the rule, and then you continue to complain about it forever. Anybody who will listen, you know, the crowd, the refs, teammates, whatever. And then this week where you actually have some semblance of a passing offense – you have a couple of receivers playing really well, and then you are dropping passes. Like, that ain't it. Like, here's your opportunity. New quarterback. Because I'm not saying Drake May is going to dismiss him like a classic Tom Brady thing. I don't think he would do that. He's a rookie. He can't afford to do that. But right now, it's only been one game for Drake May. But isn't it the back of his mind who he can trust, who he can't trust?
I would think.
So I think right now he's got a decent thing going with Pop. He's got Hunter Henry to a certain extent. And Kayshon Boutte. He's got to feel good about getting the ball to all three of those guys, less so Jalen Polk.
Boutte, 55 snaps. Polk, 43. Yeah. Only 4 targets. Douglas, 41. 9 targets. So, you know, I'd imagine that changes a little bit, but I think here's where it'll move. Kendrick Bourne played 34 to the 43 for Polk. I think we're going to see more Bourne, and we're going to see a decrease in Polk.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's coming back from a torn ACL, Kendrick Bourne is. So 2 games in, now 3rd game, I bet. He even said, when we talked to him, you can check out the whole interview on the Odyssey app. He was excellent. The first game, he was like, I didn't even really know about my surroundings. He was like learning to play again.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I felt so much more comfortable this week. So I think next week it will certainly be even steps further.
You're already nervous about Polk, though? Like the draft pick you're nervous about that investment already.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I didn't like when he had no real leg to stand on in camp, being like, if you don't buy into us now, then, like, you're not a fan. And it's like, you just got here. This is one of the worst rooms in the league.
Yep.
Like, let's see it first.
Don't tell them.
No, they all are very confident. Taquan Thornton, healthy scratch, very confident. Baker, very healthy scratch, very confident.
Yep.
They're all confident. But no, like, some of the drops, he was never as... I didn't think, like, as physically gifted as some of the other first, second round wide receivers in this year's draft. He seemed more like a steady, you know, comparisons to Jacoby Myers, TJ Hushmanzada, like that type. You're like, all right, that's good. But you know what those two guys could do? Catch everything thrown to them.
They caught the football.
They caught everything.
They might not be the fastest. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's a slow start. I'm by no means writing them off. I think N'Keal Harry and Taquan Thornton showed more bad signs early than Polk has. But I was pretty high on Polk, and I was really hopeful, especially with the quarterback change, that he'd be one of the guys flashing. Like, if you told me one guy was going to have a 40-yard touchdown, I would have said Polk over Boutte.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't love it.
So, you look at the receivers drafted around him. You know, Patriots were going to draft 34. They ended up moving back. But Xavier Worthy was in that range where they could have moved up to go get him if they liked him. He went at 28.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Pearsall lost season at 31. Leggett, another touchdown yesterday at 32.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman, 33. Lab McConkey, 34. Like, you look at the receivers in that territory, I never preferred Polk to any of those names. But I was okay with the investment in a receiver there. And I don't really hold their long issue with drafting receivers against them yet. But if Polk is another one in that pattern, that's scary. And it feels like early it's teetering. It's not done, but it's something you got to watch early.
Agreed.
Tony is in Bridgewater. Hello, Tony.
Hey, I got to tell you something. I'm so tired of the Bill bashing. Like, you know, I'm waiting for Kraft to blame Belichick for the Middle East, what's happening over there. You think Jim Harbaugh, let me ask you a question. You think Jim Harbaugh is a good coach?
Yes.
His team. He had a sub-500, 4-5-11 record in there. There's never been a good coach, a great coach, without a good quarterback. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I understand your point, and you need the quarterback there. I got it.
Wait, when did Harbaugh go? He never had back-to-back losing seasons.
I don't think so either. They might have had a losing season to draft Lamar, and then they started very poorly until they got Lamar in.
No, this is what you're talking about. 5-11, 8-8, 9-7.
Okay.
But whatever. I mean, anyway, but okay, whatever. But no, Belichick, so different arguments, right?
Yeah.
I think to be like, hey, it's time, Bill's time is up. That's where you and I stand. But I'm not going to blame him for every issue they ever have going forward. You made the move. Move on. Get it, like, hire a good coach. Hire a good GM. Move on. Keep the guys you want. Get rid of the guys you don't. He's not here. So I know some are of the mind that they'd be so much better off if he was still here. I disagree with that. Like, what short memories we have. Did you watch the Dallas game last year,
right.
The New Orleans game last year, everything?
So I'm with Tony on, I just scapegoating Bill for everything now. He lost his job. He deserved to lose his job. But now still scapegoating him for it, to me, is a little lame. And Kraft attempted to do that earlier today. Maybe Mayo attempted to do that earlier today here on WEEI. You can catch Patriots quarterback Drake May, timing TBD. Make sure you're locked in on WEEI afternoons. You can hear him here on a Patriots Monday. Let's get back into all the Patriots issues team-wide beyond just Drake May yesterday, which was great. We were happy with. Maybe you weren't as happy with it. You can weigh in at 617-779-7937. The issues on defense are piling up. That's a reflection on Jerod Mayo. We'll give you our thoughts on that next. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.